Good morning. Pastor Luke is traveling this weekend and much of this week, but we will continue with worship in his absence. Our service begins with the singing of hymn 684, Come Unto Me, Ye Weary. Liturgy for this morning is found in your service folder. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are created.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Protector of all who trust in you, have mercy on us that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through our time among the things that are temporary, that we do lose not the things that are eternal. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our first scriptural reading this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning with the 31st verse. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent
and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please rise as we join together to confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Our service continues with the singing of the hymn 580, The Gospel Shows the Father's Grace.
Thank you. morning. Our sermon for today was written by Pastor Mark Weiss, who recently accepted the call to our congregation in Lemon, South Dakota. The theme is the good news, and the text is Romans 1, verses 1 through 7. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So far our text. According to a study on the news media, 61% of news coverage is bad news, while 39% is good news. This is not surprising. Bad news is more captivating than good news. Media outlets actually prefer bad news because bad news means higher viewership. Higher viewership means higher ratings. Higher ratings mean higher advertising revenue. There's a well-known saying in the news business, if it bleeds, it leads. In other words, it becomes the lead story. But there's another reason for a higher percentage of bad news today, namely more bad things are happening. Headlines are increasingly alarming. Wars, terrorism, natural disasters, epidemics, racism, crime, corruption, economic distress, carnage, and death. There are nuclear missiles in North Korea with the capability of striking here in the West Coast. Our world is perishable, and the perishability is evident everywhere. Metal rusts, food spoils, relationships deteriorate, people age, life ends. The natural order of things is decay, and decay is the ideal setting for bad news. Paul wrote of this decay in Romans 8, saying, "For the creation was subjected to frustration," and the Greek word literally means futility or emptiness, "not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God." But wait, someone might argue, what about all our great technological advancements? Computers, internet, microchips and microwave ovens, laser surgery and space shuttles. Surely these are signs of human improvement. Well, yes, we should be grateful for technological advances that improve our lives. But when the technology fails or the power goes out, we are still nothing more than frightened human beings stumbling about in the darkness and banging our shins on unseen furniture. For a moment, forget the bad news in newspapers, online, and TV and radio. What of the bad news in your personal life? How many unhappy memories and unfortunate events began with someone telling you, "I'm afraid I have bad news"? Was it a doctor with bad news about a medical test? Was it a financial advisor with bad news about a stock portfolio or retirement fund? Was it a spouse with bad news about a divorce? Was it an employer with bad news about a job loss? I can remember a former employer using those very words when he called me into his office 1 week before Christmas and said, "I'm sorry, Mark, I'm afraid I have bad news. The company is reorganizing, and your position has been eliminated." Why is our world filled with such bad news? Why is the natural order of things frustration and decay? Well, according to Scripture, the reason is sin. The Bible traces the cause of all human misery, sorrow, suffering, and death to the fall of man into sin. Paul made no apologies when he told the Romans, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, And in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. Just as the Bible is clear about the ultimate cause of bad news in the world, it is equally clear that all people are sinful by nature. You know the passages as well as I do. Psalm 51, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ephesians 2, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Whose wrath? God's wrath. And there is no worse news than that. Amid such bad news, we have the word gospel, which literally means good news. The good news from God. Jesus himself used this term in his teaching. On the day Jesus announced the beginning of his public ministry, he was visiting the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. He took a scroll, turned to Isaiah 61, and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." After reading these words, Jesus returned the scroll, sat down, as was the custom of the teachers in Israel, and said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And what were the characteristics of this good news? Freedom for prisoners, that is, those held in slavery by sin. Recovery of sight for the blind, that is, eyes open to see true life, hope, and salvation in Christ. Release for the oppressed, that is, release from the unbearable weight of guilt. The Lord's favor, that is, God's undeserved love and grace. Would we not call such blessings good news? The Apostle Paul used the word gospel or good news more than any other New Testament writer. And in our text for today, he explains why the gospel of Jesus Christ is truly good news. First, the gospel is good news because it came from God. The apostle wrote, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God." Paul wrote to the Galatians, "I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach to you is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." As a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, Paul never preached a gospel about Paul. He never offered a man-made gospel. He never based his message on human wisdom or human works. Instead, the gospel he preached came directly from God. This is good news. Because God is always truthful and utterly reliable, it means that the good news about salvation through Jesus Christ is always truthful and utterly reliable. Have you ever asked, "How do I know God loves me? How do I know I'm saved by believing in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? How do I know that Jesus paid for all my sins? How do I know that God cares about me?" You know these things with absolute certainty because the gospel declares them, and the gospel is from the faithful, infallible God. I recently visited with an elderly widow whose husband recently died after 67 years of marriage. "I'm not doing very well," she confided. "I miss him." I asked her, "Did your husband believe in Jesus Christ as his Savior?" "Oh yes," she answered, "just as I do." I told her, "I know how hard the separation is on you after so many years of marriage. But remember, it's a temporary separation. You, your husband, and all believers will be reunited when the Lord Jesus returns in glory." She looked at me tearfully and said, "I wish I could be certain of that." I said, "You can be certain." "How?" she asked. I pointed to my Bible and said, "Because it says so right here." Think about that. The good news of Jesus Christ is not some fabricated fairy tale or some contrivance of man. The gospel is not some worthless locker room pep talk meant to cope with all the bad news of life. The good news is from God. And because it is from God, it contains the very power of God. This is why Paul was never ashamed to preach the gospel to kings and commoners, Jews and Gentiles, men and women, young and old, rich and poor. Paul stated this in Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." And if this is true, and it is, should we then be ashamed to preach the gospel? Should we be ashamed to hear it? Should we be ashamed to apply it to even the most difficult circumstances of our lives? When we feel overwhelmed, we are struggling with relationships, we want to comfort the grieving or to reach those who've grown angry with God in the belief that God does not care for them, or worse, that God is out to get them or hurt them. Never. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of God's good news. Rather, when we doubt the power of the gospel to effect change in our lives, we need only to remember what that very same gospel did for Paul himself, changing him from Saul the persecutor to Paul the apostle, from one of the Christian church's most ardent enemies to one of its greatest teachers. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul told Timothy, of whom I am the worst. Perhaps this humble awareness is what led Paul to use the word gospel or good news more than any other New Testament writer. The good news about Jesus forever changed his life and his eternity. Frankly, I used to think that all my years of Christian education, including the 3 years I spent in the seminary, were only meant to prepare me for the public ministry. I later realized that those years of studying the Bible and staying close to the good news were also meant to prepare me for the bad news I would receive in life. Aren't each of us here today for the same reason? Not to be seen or for the sake of habit or ritual, but to be empowered, comforted, and uplifted by the gospel amid this bad news world. And secondly, the gospel is good news because it is about the person and work of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in today's text, "The gospel he had promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son." You won't find the word gospel in the Old Testament. However, you will repeatedly find the good news of the coming Messiah and his redemptive work. The gospel is found from the first promise of the Savior in Eden, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the final Old Testament prophecy of Christ in Malachi 3, "See, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." The Bible is not a ramshackle collection of stories with no theme or purpose. To the contrary, the Bible is a cohesive whole. The Old Testament prophesies of the coming Savior, and in the New Testament records the fulfillment of these prophecies in the Christ who came. Indeed, the Gospel of Mark opens with these striking words, "The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God." This good news, as Paul explained, God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That Jesus Christ is the focus of both the Old and New Testament not only illustrates the cohesiveness of the Bible, it also tells us something vitally important about God. God is a God who keeps all his promises, the promise to send a Savior, the promise to deliver us from problems, the promise to never forsake us, and the promise to bring us safely from this life to the next. That Almighty God faithfully keeps his promises is certainly good news for a bad news world. It's difficult to imagine a more concise summary of God's good news than that found in these verses of our text. Regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul provided a similar summary of the gospel in 2 Timothy. "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel." Paul is here teaching the true humanity and true deity of Jesus Christ, of which we will sing so simply in the words of our final hymn today, Beautiful Savior, King of Creation, Son of God, and Son of Man. In these few sentences, Paul is also teaching the good news of a completed salvation. This same Jesus who suffered and died on the cross was raised again to life. In that glorious resurrection, he was proving that he did everything necessary to save us. There is no more for us to do. He is exactly who he claimed to be, the Son of God and Savior of mankind. This is the good news of the gospel. This good news is true because this good news is from God. Therefore, we base our Christian faith on this good news and cling to it in our most desperate hours. Yet the Bible does not merely teach the gospel in facts and passages. In the truest sense, the good news came to us in real flesh and blood in the person and work of Jesus Christ, as we're reminded in the Gospel of John. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, that baby who was born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, is none other than the Son of God. He is that 12-year-old boy teaching theologians in the Temple of Jerusalem, that man who at the age of 30 opened his ministry by declaring, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." He is that man who was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, yet was without sin. He is that man who, as Isaiah wrote, carried our sicknesses, felt our sorrows, atoned for our sins, healed the sick, calmed storms, raised the dead, walked on water, fed thousands from meager provisions, and was rejected by the very people he came to save. The man who stood before Pontius Pilate and said, "Yes, I am a king," who was beaten, bloodied, spit upon, ridiculed, crowned with thorns, and finally nailed to a cross, but who rose triumphantly from the grave on the first Easter, was and is none other than the Son of the living God. The Apostle Paul opened and closed every one of his letters with the same type of greeting. It is a greeting I use before reading today's text, and a greeting with which I'd like to close this message. It is a greeting made possible only through the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To you, dear friends, who, like the Christians in Rome, are loved by God and called to be saints, I offer this good news greeting from none other than God himself. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Be seated for the offering.
Our service continues with the singing of hymn 524, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. Please rise as we join together in bringing our prayers before the Lord. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, you who are ever with us, never leaving or forsaking us, we praise and glorify you for the infinite mercy which you have shown us in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to remove our sins by sacrificing himself on the cross. We thank you, dear Father, for showing your eternal love to us in this way, delivering us from the power of sin and death, and opening the gate of heaven for us. We confess that we are unworthy of your love, since we have disobeyed your will and word more than we can know. Turn us, O Lord, from our evil way and create in us such faith that we may put our complete confidence only in the merit of Christ. Pardon our sins, we pray, and through Christ's word of forgiveness, cast all our iniquity into the depths of the sea. Fill your believers with your Holy Spirit so that we may have power, knowledge, and wisdom that are above all human ingenuity and intellect. Give our ministers, teachers, and missionaries faithful hearts, courage, and zeal for your word, so that more and more people may be built up in faith and love, and finally enter your glory in eternity. We pray for our beloved country. Give us civil servants who are worthy of honor, and leaders in business and labor who are unselfish and far-sighted, and who are guided by the public good and respect for their fellow citizens. Lavish your grace upon all our homes, O Lord, that in each one there will be examples of Christian love and character that will build up the faith of all who live there, and provide a foretaste of the joy and blessedness of our heavenly home.
We plead for your tender care of all who are in sickness, pain, anguish, or suffering. Teach them to turn to you and wait patiently for your mercy. Grant unto them hope and joyful deliverance from all their trials, and let them walk in the light of your word all their days. These things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our refuge and hope. Amen. Let us now join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. Our service concludes with a singing of hymn 537, Beautiful Savior.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
There are a few announcements that I should probably call attention to. One of them is I believe we're going to try and do a choir practice shortly after this service. And there will be another one Thursday evening, 6:30 p.m. Pastor Luke is traveling. He will be back in town on Friday. And next Sunday, of course, is the Reformation, joint Reformation worship here at St. Stephen West, along with the East Bay congregation. There will be a fellowship meal. Please check the sign-up sheet in the entryway to make sure that we have food for that. Are there any other announcements? Yes.
For the Reformation, we're doing something different this year. We're going to be having a Shepherd Pie party on Saturday. And it is in the afternoon. The directions are going. Put it on the sign-up sheet. Just let us know so I can be sure to tell everybody what time. So I'm here just wondering if you can't really check with her on the time, but probably mid-afternoon sometime. And in addition to that, set up here on Saturday morning for anybody that's willing to help with that, 10 a.m.
Saturday morning. Are there any other announcements? All right, then. Have a blessed week.